Hugh Bennett for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next hour, I will be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. This week's main story is the Fast 50 Awards. There's no stopping us. Meet some of the fastest-growing private companies in the Triangle area and discover how they plan to keep their momentum. The annual Fast 50 Awards. The selected companies have things in common. They are privately held, they registered a minimum of $10 million in annual revenue, and they are growing fast. The number one company is Fleet Feet. They're headquartered in Carrboro. The description is a national franchiser of locally owned and operated running stores with 250-plus locations and growing. They have 1,800 employees, and their CEO is Joey Pointer. TBJ asked, what is fueling your growth? Fleet Feet's growth is fueled by our core value that it's a privilege to serve. Every day, our store owners, managers, and employees create meaningful in-store and community experiences for our customers, which is what makes Fleet Feet a community retailer and separates our brand from other retailers. The passion and dedication felt within each local store is why Fleet Feet's net promoter score is 94 when the average retailer score is 41. TBJ says, has the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? Sales have ebbed and flowed a bit with inventory, but overall we've been resilient in supply chain challenges. We rely on our stores to communicate customers' needs to help inform purchasing decisions, which has allowed us to adjust accordingly and remain nimble. We have great partners, and with their guidance and proper forecasting, we've been able to evaluate opportunities to secure additional inventory, thereby positioning our stores to serve the broadest range of customers. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? The last few years have taught us how to embrace a remote workforce. Before 2020, 90% of our corporate staff resided in the Triangle. As we shifted to a work-from-home environment, we expanded our recruiting efforts to create a nationwide applicant pool and provide a pathway for retail employees to take new roles within the organization. We now have employees across the country with less than 10% in our office 5 days a week. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given the inflation? We strive to offer fair and competitive salaries driven by the demands of our business. As a part of our strategy, we work with a third party to run a national pay study annually. We work with our store teams and consider budgeting, cash flow, and the volume of each store's business to determine salaries to ultimately allow us to hire better applicants, retain staff, and ensure equitable pay across our entire organization. How many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? 200. The number two Fast 50 company is Syncrogistics. They're headquartered in Raleigh, and their description is analytics and technology-enabled logistics company that drives custom transportation efficiencies. They have 40 employees, and their president is Erica Jackson. TBJ asks, what is fueling your growth? Our focus on service, reliability, and hard dollar savings for our clients has driven our continued growth, quadrupling our revenues since 2020. We are experts at identifying and executing tailored freight savings plans centered around improving supply chain performance. With savings over $4 million between five new clients this past year, referrals and recommendations are fueling our growth. Have the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? The cyclical freight market has shown signs of a recent bottoming, and we have seen a slight decrease in certain markets with the overall economic slowdown. However, our focus on organic growth, continuous improvement initiatives, and retention have led to significant increases in business from new and existing clients. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? 95% of our workforce is in the office. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given the inflation? Base salary increases. And how many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? 10. Company number three of the Fast 50 is Pendo. They're headquartered in Raleigh, and their description is all-in-one application experience platform. They have 750 employees, and their CEO is Todd Olson. TBJ asked, what is fueling your growth? Pendo's growth in 2023 is being driven by international growth, a rapid pace of innovation, including an exciting AI roadmap, and momentum within traditional industries. Over the past year, Pendo has added 20-plus Fortune 500 companies as customers, including some of the largest consumer brands, financial institutions, and automakers in the world. Across its paid and free offerings, 10,000 companies are using Pendo to provide better software experiences to nearly 800 million people every month. Have the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? No. Supply chain woes have not impacted Pendo. The broader macroeconomic climate has impacted our growth. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? 42%. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given the inflation? Benchmark data, which we use to build all of our salary structures, is refreshed quarterly so we don't get behind the times. Many companies refresh only annually. Cost of living, labor, and inflation are factors and included in the benchmark data and therefore in our salary structures. Following a comprehensive review of benchmark data conducted annually each fall, adjustments to pay scales to account for inflation were not necessary. How many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? 100. Company number 4 of the Fast 50 is Chimanox. They're headquartered in Raleigh, and their description is professional services advancing life sciences innovation. They have 270 employees, and their CEO is Stephen Perry. What is fueling your growth, TBJ asked. Our dedication to provide exceptional solutions to our life science clients has helped drive significant growth. This year, we also were able to supplement our capabilities through the strategic acquisition of Agilis Consulting, and Chimanox expanded into the European market through the acquisition of Antares Medical, based in Germany, and Antares Helvetia, based in Switzerland. Have the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? The supply chain woes have certainly impacted many industries in the Triangle and throughout the world, and the life sciences industry was not exempt. Chimanox was called on by several of our customers to help them find efficiencies, reduce costs, and find alternatives. Because our primary business is professional services, we did not experience a significant impact due to the supply chain woes. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? A significant portion of the Chimanox workforce is intentionally remote. We have made successful efforts to have employees gather at our offices more frequently this year. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given the inflation? Chimanox has made efforts to keep salaries and incentives competitive in the marketplace to attract and retain great talent. How many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? Undetermined at this time. We do plan to continue hiring consistent with our revenue growth. Company number 5 is Bobbitt. They are headquartered in Raleigh also. Description: integrated design, build, general contracting, interiors, and construction management services. They have 115 employees, and their CEO is Brian Denisar. What is fueling your growth? We have intentionally diversified our offerings, growing into complex corporate interiors, lab uplifts, and unique mixed-use and multifamily projects. Meanwhile, we are expanding geographically to the Triad by offering a full complement of integrated design, build, and general contracting services. Have the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? Supply chain challenges haven't slowed our growth, but they have made us more aware of the need for detailed planning, advanced purchasing, and strategic scheduling to achieve customer timelines. Keeping in close communication with our trade partners and suppliers, giving them extra information and visibility into our projects also helps because it improves their planning and can assist in making purchasing decisions sooner in the process. Long-tenured trade partners have significantly helped mitigate delays. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? Given our operational model, our workforce has largely remained in the office and or field. While we value the benefits of being in the physical office, we also recognize the importance of flexibility and have implemented measures allowing flexibility when needed, keeping in mind employee safety and well-being. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given the inflation? We have strategically adjusted base compensation and incentives to meet market pressures, but we don't view this as a major departure from our normal pay and benchmarking processes. Our goal is always to pay reasonable wages for strong efforts, and as a 100% employee-owned company, we have the benefit of aligned interests because the employees are the ultimate owners of the firm. How many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? As we continue to grow, our priority is not just to increase headcount, but to ensure that every new hire aligns with our values and brings the skills and expertise to strengthen our capabilities and drive innovation. The exact number of hires will be contingent on several factors, such as evolving business objectives, project scopes, client requirements, and market opportunities. Our sixth company of the Fast 50 is Cap Trust. They're headquartered in Raleigh. The description is independent registered investment advisor founded in 1997. They have 1,486 employees, and their CEO is Fielding Miller. What is fueling your growth? Cap Trust M&A efforts plus a focus on increasing Cap Trust's organic talent pool. In 2022, seven firms joined Cap Trust, and 209 new positions were filled organically. Have the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? Supply chain is not something that has significantly impacted Cap Trust. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? Cap Trust allows employees to work remotely 80 days per year. We do not track attendance, but expect we have roughly 25% of the workforce in 5 days a week. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given inflation? At this time, we are comfortable with our job architecture and compensation funding programs. Additionally, we have not experienced an increase in turnover due to inflation. How many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? We expect to hire and or acquire around 500 new colleagues in 2024. Company number seven, Industrial Automation. They also are headquartered in Raleigh. Their description is they provide high-quality industrial replacement parts such as PLCs, drives, motors, and HMIs. They have 25 employees, and Will Jacobson is their CEO. What is fueling your company's growth? Demand, excellent customer service, and keeping a large inventory in stock. Have the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? No. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? 100%. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given the inflation? No. How many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? Five. Fast 50 company number eight, Acuro. They are headquartered in Raleigh. Their business is talent acquisition, and they have 1,300 employees. Jennifer Dunleavy is their CEO. What is fueling your growth? Increased demand for leading-edge technology and innovation. Have the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? We have not experienced any issues. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? 95%. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given the inflation? We regularly assess and adjust employee compensation according to current market and salary trends. How many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? 50 internal employees. Our number nine company is Catalyst Clinical Research, also headquartered in Raleigh. Their description is niche clinical research organization providing functional services and full-service oncology solutions. They have 999 employees. Their CIO is Deborah Jones Herzog. What is fueling your company's growth? We have high repeat business rates and a reputation for being easy to work with. Our high levels of expertise in our functional and therapeutic specialties appeal to biopharma. Have the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? We're still seeing healthy revenue growth. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? Catalyst has anywhere from 6% to 25% of employee attendance each week. Catalyst has always had a flexible work environment. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given the inflation? Our first priority is to ensure that our team members are compensated fairly for their contributions. To combat inflation, we've adjusted pay scales accordingly to ensure appropriate compensation. How many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? We anticipate hiring 90 employees in the U.S. and 200 employees globally in the next 12 months. Company number 10 is Velocity Clinical Research, headquartered in Durham. Their description is they operate 80-plus clinical research sites in four countries. They have 1,700 employees, and their CEO is Paul Evans. What is fueling your growth? The evolution of multi-site businesses such as Velocity brings efficiency and impact on trial timelines through scale. In the past year, we have also established a foothold in international markets in Europe. Have the supply chain woes slowed your growth in the past year? Supply chain problems have delayed the start of some clinical trials, but the biggest impact we have seen has been construction delays. As the company grows, we continue to relocate existing sites in key markets to larger premises to accommodate that growth. Many of those upgrades are being impacted by construction delays. What percentage of your workforce is back to work at your physical location 5 days a week? Our staff have to manage patient visits in a healthcare-type setting. Our administrative functions have returned to work 100%, except those staff that were hired to be remote workers. Have you made any major adjustments to the pay scale given the inflation? Our pay scales have certainly been impacted by inflation and market competition. How many employees will you hire in the next 12 months? Unclear at this stage. We're going to step away from the Fast 50 for a while and read some of the normal sections of the TBJ, and if we have time, we'll come back to the Fast 50. The biz section is compiled and written by Dane Huffman. The top story there, brand continues to make leaps. Carolyn Skelton was in MBA school back in July 2001 when she and her husband Paige started playing with sauce and stumbled upon a business. Friends called it that Kakalaki sauce, and thus the name was born. She worked for John Deere after finishing at UNC Keenan Flagler while he and their son Harry created Kakalaki products from Pittsburgh. During COVID, she decided to leave John Deere and dive in. My son came to me when I was working from home and said, "Mama, we need you," she says. I thought something was wrong. He said, "No, this brand, this company, it needs you." I thought long and hard and spent several months figuring out how we could possibly do that and went for it. Kakalaki now has a 5,000-square-foot facility in Pittsburgh, although the products are produced elsewhere, and partnerships that include Cheerwine, Biscuitville, and even UNC Chapel Hill Athletics. You can find it now in places like Publix, Harris Teeter, Food Lion, and Wegmans. And Kakalaki is doing a promotion at the Costco in Garner, November 17th through the 19th, that will include a visit from UNC's Ramses on November 18th from 10 a.m. to noon. Skelton says the company, with only 3 employees but plenty of contract hires, is now selling more than $100,000 of its products a year. Her time in MBA school helped. She has learned to, quote, get over yourself as quickly as possible, unquote, to recognize that others are also smart and that you need strong relationships to go with the high-quality product. And you have to take the long view. There's nothing quick about a brand, Skelton says. We are 2 things. We are a brand and we are a business. Starting a brand, growing a brand, is a lot harder than just a business. Carrie Speaker is a real top gun. A real top gun is in the market December 6th when a former Blue Angels pilot speaks at the Cary Chamber of Commerce's First Responders Breakfast. Scott Cartvet saw the movie Top Gun in 1986 and realized that's exactly what he wanted to do. After graduating from Pepperdine University, he was accepted into the Naval Aviation Program and eventually flew F-A-18 Hornets off aircraft carriers. He spent 3 seasons with the Blue Angels. He is now a stunt pilot and flew some of the most challenging scenes in the recent film Top Gun Maverick. Cartvet, who now gives talks on leadership and creating a culture of excellence, is part of a program that begins at 7:30 a.m. at Prestonwood Country Club. UNC Health opens Butner facility. UNC Health has moved into Granville County after opening a youth behavioral health hospital in the town of Butner. The 54-bed facility is a result of a partnership between the health system and the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. The organizations developed the hospital at a site that was previously home to the R.J. Blackley Alcohol and Drug Abuse Treatment Center. More than 200 healthcare workers are employed at the hospital, which has the capacity to treat more than 800 patients a year. The facility provides acute hospital care for children and teens in psychiatric crisis. The facility comes as the state grapples with what healthcare providers described as a behavioral health crisis. The most recent state budget carves out $853 million to invest in behavioral health services to try to address this crisis. New place to snooze in Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill has a new brunch spot as Colorado Snooze and AM Eatery opened in the Eastgate Crossing Shopping Center. The restaurant offers full-service dining with the menu including cocktails, coffee, omelets, benedicts, pancakes, French toast, tacos, burritos, and sandwiches. The Chapel Hill restaurant is Snooze's first location in the Triangle. It also has three locations in Charlotte. Companies team up for free health screenings. A healthcare company and an investment firm are partnering to provide free healthcare services to low-income tenants. Jay's Properties and Mako RX will be offering a free health screenings via Mako RX's health travel trailer to tenants at Jay's Properties developments. The Lake Wheeler Mobile Home Park in Raleigh will be the first community to receive the pro bono care December 9th. Mako RX founder Vinay Patel says there will be blood pressure screenings and diabetes checks, with the potential for immunizations and other services being offered. Jay's Properties managing partner Apurva Shah says if the event goes well, then it will continue to bring the partnership to other communities with the goal of bringing the health trailer twice a year to each community. The companies are also working on partnering with a medical provider who can provide affordable health care beyond the basic screenings. The health trailer resembles a doctor's office with two exam rooms and a bathroom. The Triangle climbs in retirement rankings. Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill continue to gain prominence as lifestyle destinations for people of all ages. The latest evidence is in the U.S. News & World 2024 Best Places to Retire, where the Triangle comes in at number 25. Raleigh and Durham are up four spots from a year ago and fall behind Melbourne and Orlando in Florida. The top of the list, spots 1 through 5, are all communities in eastern Pennsylvania, with Harrisburg at number 1. Joining the Triangle in the top 25 is Winston-Salem at 17. The ranking of the country's 150 largest metro areas looked at several data sources to arrive at an overall score based on six indices: affordability, happiness, desirability, retiree taxes, health care quality, and the job market. The On Tech and Finance column is written by Lauren Onasorge. Top story there this week: concerns rise over Epic's future HQ. When it comes to its headquarters plans for the former Cary Town Center, Cary's Epic Games has stirred up plenty of curiosity but no dirt since demolishing most of the former mall last year. Public records obtained from the town of Cary show zero updates from Epic Games on its plans for the former shopping mall, but they do show a flurry of concern. In the days immediately following reports about the company's recent layoffs, which impacted at least 170 people in the Triangle, emails circulated the stories among town staff. "Oh no, Epic layoffs," wrote Jacqueline Roth, Vice President of Economic Development, in an email September 28th. "Sad news," replied Mark Lawson, president of the Cary Chamber of Commerce, referencing the firm's mounting legal bills and adding that he is not surprised. Even federal representatives' curiosity over the situation seems to be piqued. "Wanted to check in with you to see how things are going," wrote Trey Lewis, Northeast Regional Representative for the office of U.S. Senator Tom Tillis, on October 2nd. "We read the unfortunate news about Epic Games." But while emails were exchanged among staff, nothing was received from the company itself, which continues to leave the town in the dark about its plans. An Epic spokeswoman said, "We continue to coordinate with the town. No updates on our plans to share." When asked what she meant by coordinate, she did not say. Remnants of the old mall now sit behind a chain-link fence while Cary itself continues to explode. Close to the old mall is the booming Fenton development, and downtown Cary has become a vibrant place for restaurants and retailers, and a new park is set to open later this month. Epic Games' initial rezoning request for the site was met with pushback from multiple town officials for its apparent lack of detail. The council passed the project onto the town's planning and zoning board for review in late 2021, but 2 years later, the board has yet to make a recommendation and no updated plans have been submitted. Cap Trust expands again, buys Sanford firm. Financial planning firm Cap Trust's buy of Norman Financial Group, announced November 3rd, is born of a four-decade friendship between a pair of Triangle executives. That's according to Fielding Miller, CEO of Cap Trust, and Kel Norman, who founded Sanford's Norman Financial in 2015. Miller needed no introduction to Norman, as the pair have been best friends for about 40 years. They started as rookie stockbrokers together at Interstate Securities. As the market evolved, Miller saw opportunity to build up the wealth side of Cap Trust's businesses, and that's where their vision started to align. Norman also liked Miller's growth strategy of scooping up small entrepreneurial practices whose values align. Norman Financial oversees more than $1.3 billion in assets. The firm brings 9 employees to Cap Trust and will take on the Cap Trust brand. And RDU to start daily flights to Iceland in 2024. Iceland Air is doubling down on its commitment to Raleigh-Durham International Airport. Beginning in May, the airline will expand its nonstop flight to Reykjavik to a daily year-round service. This flight, which launched in 2022 running 4 days a week, has supported 70,000 passengers since its inception, according to RDU. The additional flights add to RDU's strong recovery in 2023 as the airport is on pace to potentially surpass 2019's record passenger volume of more than 14 million. On Retail and Restaurants is written by Laura Brummett. Top story this week there is Lake Boone Center beefs up its options. A busy retail center in Raleigh's Blue Ridge Corridor is undergoing a major facelift with new tenants set to open. Chicken Salad Chick, a fast casual chain with a growing presence in North Carolina, has announced it will open its newest store in the Triangle on November 14th. The restaurant is located at 2414 Wycliffe Road in the Lake Boone Shopping Center between UNC Rex Hospital and the Beltline. Chicken Salad Chick is located in a new outparcel at the shopping center. A previous building housing office space was torn down to make way for the new construction. The restaurant will have indoor seating for 90 people and outdoor patio seating for 50. Joining Chicken Salad Chick in the new building is the Butcher's Market and Duck Donuts. The location will be the third for the Butcher's Market, a Raleigh-based shop, and is scheduled to open December 1st. It will be the second Raleigh location for Duck Donuts, a brand that started in Duck in the Outer Banks and now boasts over 100 locations. The Butcher's Market has other locations in Raleigh, Cary, Holly Springs, Wake Forest, and Wilmington. Change is also coming to the shopping center's other outparcels. The McDonald's located along the Lake Boone Trail has been demolished to make way for a new McDonald's that should open in the end of January. The Chick-fil-A in the shopping center is closed as it undergoes renovations. The restaurant is slated to reopen on November 16th. The shopping center's main strip, including tenants Chubby's Tacos, Village Deli, and Food Lion, has a vacant tenant space. A retail space previously occupied by Walgreens is now empty after the store closed earlier this year. The empty space measures 9,600 square feet, and the leasing rate is $20 per square foot, according to marketing materials by York Properties. The rest of the center is fully leased. Durham Hotel plans get reboot. Plans to build a WoodSpring Suites Hotel in the marketplace at Ellis Crossing have been revived, but still face hurdles from the city of Durham. The Publix anchored shopping center is owned by Indiana developer Thompson Thrift. The firm is working with Concord Hospitality of Raleigh on the project. The group first filed plans to build a hotel in 2021, but those went unapproved due to the property's proximity to residential development. New plans were submitted in September, showing 124 hotel rooms in a building totaling 53,711 square feet. The new plans differ from the previous plans by calling for 2 more hotel rooms and a modified scope of work, such as revised parking and walkway layout. In North Hills, luxury shopping and dining concept pops up. Bowel Harbor Shops, an open-air shopping mall with high-end stores, is bringing a pop-up concept to North Hills. The pop-up will be held in a collection of shipping containers located at 4359 Six Forks Road. It will be the first venture outside of Miami for Ball Harbor Shops and the first stop on a larger multi-city tour for the operation. The event will run for 8 weeks, beginning later this month. Currently announced retailers include Tiffany & Company, Balmain, Santa Maria Novella, Fret, Bonpoint, Addict, Aceline, and James Purse. More luxury brands will be announced soon. The concept will span 17,000 square feet across 30 custom-built shipping containers. It will take place at the corner of the intersection of Six Forks and Lassiter Mills Road within North Hills' main district. The site will also include a fine dining restaurant called The Whitman. Zach Ezone writes the On Healthcare Higher Ed column. Top story there, global pharma to invest $60 million in Raleigh. A global pharmaceutical company is establishing its first U.S. manufacturing facility in Raleigh. Indivior plans to invest more than $60 million over the next 5 years at a site in northeast Raleigh. The company, based near Richmond, Virginia, will produce treatments for opioid addiction and schizophrenia. Indivior is taking over a facility at 8900 Capitol Boulevard, previously owned by Sagent Pharmaceuticals, which laid off 81 employees at the facility earlier this year. Indivior will retain the existing workforce while adding another 35 employees over the next 5 years. Jobs at the facility include production operators and quality control engineers. Indivior conducted a wide search to find a suitable site. Previously, the company has relied on contract manufacturing, but through this investment, Indivior is securing long-term capacity for its products and its pipeline, says Nina DiLorenzo, Chief Global Impact Officer. It selected the Triangle due to its local talent pool and ecosystem of pharma companies and the research universities, DiLorenzo says. The Raleigh facility fits what Indivior sought, as it was already producing sterile injectables and leaves room for future expansions. This is the second time the roughly 85,000-square-foot facility has sold recently. Sagent, in 2019, acquired the site from Xellia Pharmaceuticals for $8.2 million. Indivior did not disclose how much it paid for the facility. The 56-acre property has an assessed value of nearly $8.8 million, split relatively even between the land and the building. Raleigh Economic Development has worked with Indivior since August, says Director Kyle Touchstone. The project qualifies for incentive programs from both Wake County and the City of Raleigh. The details of these incentives have not yet been finalized. The project is a continuation of the activity the Triangle has experienced in the life sciences sector in recent years, with large projects by companies like Amgen and Fujifilm Diosynth Biotechnologies. The project also falls within a targeted growth area, areas where Wake County officials want to direct more resources, says Michael Haley, Executive Director of Wake County Economic Development. Biotech expanding in Morrisville. A biotechnology company is expanding its operations near Research Triangle Park as it moves toward commercializing its first product. DMC Biotechnologies has moved from a small space at First Flight Venture Center, an incubator in RTP, to a 9,500-square-foot research and development lab at 5151 McCrimmon Parkway in Morrisville. The move was driven by a need for additional space, says CEO Kenny Erdos. DMC's employee base has tripled in recent years, with most of the growth coming in its research and development operations. DMC has about 35 employees between its facilities in Colorado and North Carolina and about 25 employees based locally. BioCryst Inc.'s licensing deal for vision loss treatment. A biotechnology company in Research Triangle Park has landed a licensing deal to pursue a treatment for vision loss related to diabetes. BioCryst Pharmaceuticals is working with Clearside Biomedical to develop the treatment and will pay Clearside an upfront fee and potential future milestone payments depending on the program's success. The deal will enable BioCryst to develop its investigational compound, Avoralstat. I'll try that again. Avoralstat, A-V-O-R-A-L-S-T-A-T, with Clearside's microinjector platform. This allows the compound to be delivered directly to the back of a patient's eye. As part of the agreement, BioCryst is paying Clearside an upfront license fee of $5 million. BioCryst could also pay an additional $30 million based on clinical and regulatory milestones, and up to another $47.5 million based on sales milestones following a potential regulatory approval of the drug. BioCryst could also pay Clearside mid-single-digit royalties on annual global net product sales of the treatment. The royalties are set at three different tiers, with the top tier set at more than $1.5 billion in annual net product sales. The On Greater Triangle Growth section is written by Ben Tobin. The top story there, Pinehurst Club sells for about $20 million. A country club with multiple golf courses in the Pinehurst area has been sold. An LLC, AEP Pine Wild Holding, purchased the Pine Wild Country Club of Pinehurst for roughly $20 million, according to a Moore County deed filed November 1st. The previous owner of the club was Pine Wild Project Limited Partnership, with Koichi Sato as president. AEP Pine Wild Holding, which has a Pinehurst address, is linked to Chris Card, a seasoned golf club manager who is the president and CEO of Grand Harbor Golf and Beach Club in Florida and the club at New Seabury in Massachusetts. Card, who has a lengthy career in the golf industry, did not respond to requests for comment. Pine Wild sits just west of Pinehurst Resort. The club is surrounded by a gated residential community covering around 2,000 acres. Reports from 2022 about the club being listed for sale said it had more than 60 employees and generated $4.84 million in revenue in 2021. In an email to Pine Wild Club members on November 1st, General Manager Christopher Little said he and his team look forward to the continued support of the membership and that of the advisory board as we work hard to ensure that our club's best years are to come. Little could not be reached for comment. In a letter to club members obtained by Triangle Business Journal, Sato wrote, "Please be assured that the new ownership is committed to upholding the quality, traditions, and values which have made this club and community so successful. The new owner has agreed to honor all existing memberships and looks forward to working with the advisory board and each of you to continue the success of the Pine Wild Country Club of Pinehurst," unquote. Pine Wild's first golf course, the 18-hole Magnolia course, designed by Gene Hamm, came online in 1989. The club has two other courses, the 18-hole Holly course, designed by golf legend Gary Player, and a 9-hole par 3 course, Azalea, designed by Bill Sessoms. The country club has a clubhouse, tennis and pickleball courts, a swimming pool, and other amenities. More homes are planned near the club as well. In Harnett County, Regional Airport looks for major upgrades. Harnett Regional Jetport is set to receive more improvements as demand from businesses is on the rise. The airport, located off Highway 421 between Lillington and Irwin, received a $15.6 million earmark for infrastructure improvements in the recently passed state budget. Jerry Milton, chairman of the airport's board, says the grant will go toward a $31 million project to lengthen the airport's runway up to 5,501 feet, adding more than 500 feet, and widening it by 25 feet to 100 feet. The move, Milton says, will help the airport accommodate larger aircraft and bring more business to Harnett County. It will hopefully save a lot of travel up and down the road from here to Raleigh-Durham International Airport because certain planes couldn't take off here, he says. So maybe we'll be able to recoup some of that business that we're losing to RDU. In Pitt County, a warehouse in eastern North Carolina goes for $1.8 million. A large industrial warehouse in a growing eastern North Carolina county has a new owner, Arvesta, an LLC tied to Standard Restaurant Supply, a supplier of restaurant materials, purchased roughly 8.5 acres at 932 NC 118 in Pitt County for $1.8 million on October 26th, according to Pitt County deed records. The land has a nearly 140,000-square-foot industrial warehouse that was built in 1960, according to a listing for the property. And the warehouse is vacant. It's unclear how many people Arvesta plans to employ at the warehouse and when it hopes to begin operations. The company did not respond to requests seeking comment. And in Moore County, home builder pours millions into small town. The nation's largest home builder is keeping its foot on the gas in Moore County. D.R. Horton purchased 31 lots in the Southbury subdivision in Carthage at 401 Apricot Lane for a little more than $2.6 million, according to Moore County deed records. The lots sit on a parcel that is roughly 23 acres. According to D.R. Horton, Raleigh City Manager Courtney Smith Gonzalez, the homes are under construction and pricing starts at $330,000. Homes range from 1,764 square feet to 2,824 square feet with ranch and two-story designs. The neighborhood is located about 10 miles from the village of Pinehurst and is near a Food Lion-anchored shopping center. Kaylee Thompson reports on real estate. The top story there, Minnesota firm sues Dillwig over loan. A commercial real estate firm in Durham has been named in a lawsuit for failing to pay millions it owes on an office building in Morrisville. OSKXIV LLC, a company registered to investment firm O'Brien Staley Partners of Minnesota, filed a claim against TDC Blue IV LLC, which is registered to Dillwig, and CEO Anthony Dillwig for failing to pay $6 million on its loan for the RDU Center 3 office building in Morrisville. It's unfortunate that this matter was filed at all, but it was. We intend to file an appropriate response and bring claims of our own in due time, the Dillwig company says in response to the suit. According to the suit, O'Brien Staley Partners is looking for a money judgment for the amount due after the foreclosure sale. At this point, it would be inappropriate to comment on newly filed litigation, but we hope the parties will be able to resolve the dispute, representatives of O'Brien Staley Partners say. Triangle Business Journal previously reported that Dillwig defaulted on its loan and handed the building back to the lender, First National Bank. First National Bank then commenced foreclosure proceedings and auctioned the building on August 25th for $12.5 million to O'Brien Staley. The lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of North Carolina stated, starting in November 2022, borrower Dillwig made none of the monthly payments of principal and interest due under the note. First National Bank notified Dillwig of the default by a letter on November 21, 2022, but payments were still not made. O'Brien Staley Partners bought the loan documents from FNB in December 2022. According to the lawsuit, nearly $6.2 million is still owed. The loan matured on July 30th without being paid in full. The amount listed in the claim is how much Dillwig still owes on the building from 9 missed monthly payments plus interest as of October 16th. The lawsuit comes near the end of a turbulent year for the commercial real estate industry and the office sector. Wendell adding homes with lower prices. Low-priced homes are planned for a mixed-use community in eastern Wake County. The latest residential addition to the master plan community will be townhomes starting in the low 300,000s. Wendell Falls owner Brookfield Properties will develop the project. Tanya Mattson, Vice President of Operations for Brookfield Properties, says the townhomes will be open for sale in mid-November, with the model home open in January. The low price comes at a time when the average sales price for homes in the Triangle for September was $466,457, according to Triangle MLS. The townhomes will be two stories and have three bedrooms with granite and quartz countertops, 9-foot ceilings, and solid oak staircases. Mattson declines to disclose the cost of the development. In leasing, retail apartments join development boom in Raleigh, Northeast Raleigh. A retail-heavy area in Northeast Raleigh could be getting more offerings along with apartments. KFK LLC, addressed to Khalil Muhammad, has filed new site plans for Razia Shops and Apartments, a mixed-use building with multifamily units and retail. The project will be on Lewisburg Road, where Capitol Boulevard splits into Highways 1 and 401. Site plans show the project will have 24 units in a three-story building. There will be 4 studios, 6 one-bedroom units, and 14 two-bedroom units. Retail will be on the first floor with 12,600 square feet of space for up to 7 retailers. The cost of the project and timeline is unknown, as Muhammad was unavailable for comment. Northeast Raleigh has been a magnet for development, especially residential. Allied Retail Properties has proposed 504 residences and more than 30,000 square feet of commercial space near Interstate 540 and Highway 401. The Howell Companies is planning up to 400 apartments in the same area. 52 Shades of Success, the Latino Influence, explores the challenges and opportunities of individuals and business run by those in the Latin American community from all across the greater Raleigh-Durham metro area. This 52-week project will also dive into important trends and issues relating to the DEI sector. Turn acceptance into enrollment. East Carolina University is working to ensure Hispanic and Latino students feel welcome and representative. Compared to when she started as an undergrad at East Carolina University 4 years ago, Natalia Figueroa Bernal, a first-semester grad student pursuing a master's in public health, sees a big difference in the number of Hispanic students on campus. In the beginning, it was really hard not seeing many Hispanics on campus. I was the only Hispanic in many classes, specifically the STEM ones, Figueroa Bernal says. Now I see individual Hispanics in groups walking around campus, and I have a bigger sense of belonging. Her path to college and that feeling of inclusion was anything but straightforward. Born and raised in Raleigh, Figueroa Bernal moved frequently, attending Middle Creek High School in Apex and Garner High before her family settled in Smithfield, where she graduated. ECU was the only college she considered, in part because of its financial aid package, but largely because it was close to her parents who moved here from Mexico. Heritage and culture are important to Figueroa Bernal, and whether she opts for medical school or working with policies and programs that better health outcomes, her long-term goal is to work with the Hispanic population as she does now in helping to promote Hispanic representation at ECU. Making the campus more welcoming and accessible for Hispanic and Latino students has become a critical focus at ECU, while key initiatives led by Marjorie Campo Ringler, a professor in the College of Education and chair of the Department of Educational Leadership, and Rich Klindworth, or Klindworth, who is both the public communications specialist for ECU News Services and a doctoral student. At the same time, Rich was deciding his dissertation topic would be around increasing enrollment of Hispanic students, I was working to bring in more Hispanic faculty and educate leaders to make informed decisions about whether to offer dual language programs in K-12 so we have bilingual students, says Ringler, whose parents came to the U.S. from Colombia before she was born, then returned to their homeland where she lived until she was 18. What she and Klindworth both realized was that the ECU population, from students to faculty, administrators, and staff, does not accurately represent the fast-growing Hispanic and Latino communities in eastern North Carolina. There's been a nice increase in Hispanic students at ECU, but when you look at the yield, around 80% of students were going somewhere else, says Klindworth, meaning that of the Hispanic students who applied and were accepted, only about 20% were actually enrolling at the university. To be designated as a Hispanic Serving Institution, HSI, the school's enrollment has to be at least 25% individuals who identify as Hispanic. To be an emerging HSI, enrollment has to be 15 to 24.9% Hispanic. There are enough students who identify as Hispanic and are admitted to ECU that if every one of those students enrolled, we would already qualify to be a Hispanic Serving Institution, she says. ECU's enrollment of Hispanic students has mirrored that of all the UNC system schools across the last decade. 5% of the total enrollment in the fall of 2014 class were Hispanic, and 9% of total enrollment in fall 2023 are Hispanic. At ECU, that meant increasing from 1,500 Hispanic students to almost 2,400. The purpose of Klindworth's dissertation is to explore what would make ECU more attractive to Hispanic students, particularly first-generation college attendees whose parents speak Spanish and have limited, if any, English proficiency. His research focused on Greene County, where 17% of the population identify as Hispanic, versus the statewide total of 11% Hispanic, and fully one-third of the students are enrolling at Greene Central High School are Hispanic. That high school is 30 minutes from the ECU campus, so students could live in Greene County and commute to ECU, but we were only getting one or two students a year from Greene, Kleinworth says. Working with departments across the university, he organized an in-person college knowledge event that brought more than 30 faculty, staff, and students from ECU to Greene Central. This was a bilingual presentation for middle and high school Hispanic students and their parents, and we held it from 6 to 8 p.m. because we wanted parents to be able to attend, he says. 8 Hispanic students applied from Greene County, all were admitted, and 7 came. We had more students from Greene County enrolled this year than the past 4 years combined. It was an 88% yield, which was the highest yield since 2015 when there was a 100% yield, but that was actually just one student who was admitted and came. Now ECU is extending the initiative to additional counties, Duplin, Lenore, Sampson, and Wayne, rolling out similar events to connect with Hispanic students and families. Let's Connect Wayne County will be November 16th in partnership with Wayne Community College, and the Duplin County event will be November 30th at James Brunt Community College. As Kleinworth's research initiated these projects, Ringler was busy working a synergistic angle. She saw another red flag when the university failed to be included in the UNC System's Teaching Fellows Program, which provides up to $5,000 a semester in financial aid for students preparing to become teachers. A contributing factor was the need for more diversity and equity. Given her perspective on dual language education, Ringler asked, why are we not focusing on teachers who can work with multilingual populations? Her answer was to push for ECU to become a member of the Hispanic Association for Colleges and Universities. We needed to join HACU to learn what others are doing because obviously we were not representing as a Hispanic service institution. Yet in our backyard, we have public K-12 schools with 40% Hispanic enrollment, Ringler says. ECU became an associate member of HACU in 2022, and Figueroa Bernal, who works with Ringler to create awareness and understanding of HACU among the student body, says HACU is more of a badge ECU gets to wear. It shows other Hispanic students and their families that ECU is accepting of who we are, and it brings more resources, scholarships, and paid internships to the students. Every incremental initiative leads to improved representation, but fundamentally the need is for ECU to adopt a Hispanic-serving commitment from the top down. For us to exponentially change the numbers, ECU needs to do some internal adjustments and invest in having a culturally responsive staff, says Ringler, citing the admissions office where she believes there is no longer anyone who is bilingual. If I'm a Hispanic parent and want to talk to someone, I need someone who speaks the language. But there's no one for me to talk to in admissions or in housing or financial aid. We're still built as a predominantly white institution by who we hired. If we start building more representation of Hispanic people on campus, that's going to help a lot. Sugata Mukherjee is the editor-in-chief of the Triangle Business Journal. His editor's notebook column this week, overzealous apartment builders are doing us a favor. Just gleaming through the 2022 year-end report from the online rental market intelligence website Rent Cafe, it looked like there was a general consensus that the apartment market across the nation will stay strong since interest rates on single-family homes made it somewhat prohibitive for many first-time homebuyers to buy homes. The year-end report concluded that an average of 14 renters competed for each vacant apartment. In the Triangle, vacant apartments were filling up faster than new apartments ready for rent. Occupancy reached 95%. How things have changed in just less than 1 year. Real estate firm CoStar projects the apartment vacancy rate in Raleigh is about 10%, and Rent.com estimates rental prices have dropped more than 12% for smaller-sized apartments. So if an area is growing with new people moving in and people are not buying homes because of 8% mortgage rates, where are they living? The answer may lie in Rent Cafe's latest report on November 7th. The Raleigh metro area has the largest share of adult Gen Zers living with family members in the U.S. Conversely, the rate of millennials residing with family has dropped to one of the lowest in the nation, third in the nation. In Raleigh, a substantial 87% of Zoomers are still stuck in their family homes, a figure way higher than the national average of 68%. Wright Rent Cafe's economists. This translates to roughly 155,000 out of 178,000 Gen Zers either facing challenges in leaving their family's nest or consciously choosing to remain there. Understandably, apartment construction around the Triangle has slowed considerably in 2023, but looking at some of the latest numbers of units in specific zip codes in the Triangle, it makes you wonder if the rental market is further facing stronger headwinds in the coming months. Debt and equity financing of these new developments must be hard right now. For example, Rent Cafe estimates there are 2,625 new apartments that came online in the past 5 years in the 27560 zip code in Morrisville. That is more than Cary and Chapel Hill combined. In Raleigh, zip code 27607 registered 1,688 new apartments. Even Fuquay Varina's new apartments meant a 216% increase in the number of apartments, ranking it fourth in the nation. Now consider this, if our projections are right regarding a triangle growing at one of the fastest paces in the nation, at some point we'll need more apartments. The question then becomes when to start building the new ones. Apartment project developers say unless you already have made a lot of money for your financial partner in previous projects, the chances of you getting a meeting to talk about a new apartment project have reached impossibility. Builders who have built the most apartments in the Triangle will be the only ones to benefit from this short-term supply glut because in less than 5 years, the apartment investment market may dish out similar ROI to 2021 and 2022 returns. For now, the glut of apartments and people's reluctance to move into them has tampered demand, and by extension, rental prices are coming down. That's a good thing. At least the price of something is coming down. We've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Hugh Bennett, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.